Today we begin a series of conversations that is all about manifesting your desire. Here we bring into direct focus many of the things we have been speaking about for quite some time, bringing them into an ordered focus, because we want to invite you to follow along as to what the actual potential process could be for intentionally manifesting your desire. The desire can be anything at all that you wish. A desire, in this case, is going to be something that you want to have that you believe you do not have. None of this will be necessarily new. What it will be, however, is placed into a context that follows the process step by step by step. Now, to be quite clear, there is no process and there are no steps. But for the point of this conversation, for the purposes of walking more deeply into these ideas, we are laying them out as if it was a process. And in fact, you can follow along as if it was a process and treat it as a process. To also be clear, we're going to continue what we've been doing for quite some time and really not spending a lot of time on the whys, wherefores, or hows. Because when it comes to intentionally manifesting something, whys, wherefores, and hows are probably the reason why you have a lot of unfinished art projects in your art project room. Because you're still trying to figure out what's wrong with you and why you don't have them and what happened and how you're going to get it. And intentional manifesting has nothing to do with that. None of that. So we'll start off with our first step. And that is to define what manifesting is. In particular, what it is when it comes to intentionality. So by default, manifesting your desires is what you are doing all the time with everything that is currently present in your physical reality. So if you turn your head from left to right and back again, everything in your field of vision is a desire that is manifesting. Everything that you hear, including this voice, is a desire that is manifesting. Everything you can reach out and touch, that you can hold in your hand, that you can taste, that you can smell, anything you can interact with in physical terms, is your desire manifesting. That table, that chair, that clock, that painting, those windows, that sky, those trees, those birds, those plants, that lamp, these are all your desires manifesting. Now, there is a difference between what you are manifesting intentionally and what you are manifesting by default. The lamp, the table, the chair, those windows, that sky, those birds, these are manifesting by default. So from your intellectually developed sense of perception that's based upon data that you can observe that proves itself, you will say those birds were there, that lamp somebody else made, the table someone else built, the sky has nothing to do with me. You can explain why these things don't belong to you. And you have likely very solid reasoning, but it's reasoning. You have a very solid intellectual basis for this reasoning, but it's intellectual. This is a conversation about metaphysics. We're not concerned about your intellectual reasoning. It's interesting, and it likely is quite fascinating, and will keep you quite interested and fascinated for a very long time. But your desire is manifesting. This table, this chair, this lamp, that painting, those trees, that sky, these are all your desires manifesting. You are manifesting this physical reality, at the center of which sits your body, and your body is your primary manifesting device. You're manifesting it, and it is at the center of what and through which and from which all of your manifesting desires arise. Now, when you notice that this is what you're doing and it's happening in the present moment, and that your physical reality is a projection of ideas. It's light basically taking on shape and form, and then with the illusion of heft and weight and depth, contrast of the contextual sort that has to do with how you can measure it, how you can weigh it, what it looks like, what color it is, what it tastes like, what it smells like, all of those things, things that you can interact with through your body. When you begin to realize this is all an illusion, it's all a hologram, it's all a projected idea, and it's all happening inside your mind, you're liberating yourself from the idea that you're at the effect of what you are seeing. You are not at the effect of what you are seeing. What you are seeing is at the effect of you. You are not an object among the other objects. You are the center of these things, which are your subjects. They are subject to you. They are at your demand, happening on your request, in exactly the way that you are asking them to be. Now, if you approach this intellectually and believe that you can define the mechanisms and then put your hand on the gears or the buttons or the levers and thus manipulate your reality to show up to be what you think it should be, you will fail. Likewise, if you try to prove that what we're saying is right by third-party triangulation, if I can get someone else to agree with me that this is right, then it must be true, you will fail at that as well. Because the underlying basis of both of those approaches is that there is a doubt or a question about whether this is the case. We are not asking you, nor are we inviting you, to have blind faith or devotion or confidence or trust about any of this. We're not asking you to believe us at all. But what we are saying is that metaphysics responds to you. And whatever you say is so is demonstrated to you. Sometimes it shows up in plain physical form, and sometimes it shows up as a perception on top of that physical form. Either way, for your purposes, it pretty much is all the same. But when you begin to realize that there's perception that you're laying out over your physical reality that is completely fungible and is actually very easy to shift around, that you can change your mind about what something means in a matter of milliseconds. And while physical reality itself may take a little bit longer to shift, it will then begin to follow your lead. And the perception is actually the place where all of this begins. Because the perceptive quality of something you're assigning that entirely belongs to you, is basically the template that you're laying out that says this is how this will work. Now, in a sense, it's much more complex than you're capable of perceiving or thinking about or knowing anything about because of the nature of the ways in which you're using your mind to perceive yourself as a being. But on the other hand, it's also much simpler than you could possibly imagine. You just decide something is so and it is so. But remember, you're a multitude. You are not a singularity. You believe that you're an individual, but you're in fact a multitude. There are many different versions of you. And there are many different versions of the objects that you inhabit and that you sit around and that you look at and that you're in the middle of. These objects, which are really subjects, the first subject, of course, is your body. And everything that extends from your body is all the things that you can see, hear, taste, touch, and smell for the purpose of those interactions and for the delight that those interactions bring you. You're sitting in the middle of manifesting desires. That is going on. The main thing that you're seeing, the vast majority, the ostensibly almost imperceptibly 100%, so small is the difference, it's almost imperceptible, except that you've made a really big deal out of it, and it looks really big to you. But the vast majority, as we like to say, 99.0% of what you're seeing, of what you're experiencing, of what you're thinking about, of what you're intending, is happening by default. So much of your reality is composed of this. You, however, have set aside certain special things, made into art projects, set aside, put into an art room. Here we speak metaphorically, of course, that say I am special. I am different. I am apart. And you are very, very good at doing different and apart. After all, the entire basis of this reality is your assertion that you are not all that you are. Or to put it a different way, that you're not God. And in fact, you're so good at this, you've made it heretical to say, I am God. But you are. But God is not what you think he, she, or they might be. God is not a person. God is all that is. And assigning God personhood is an indication of exactly the kind of madness that's going on here. And we don't say that with any deprecation or indictment. We say that literally as a statement. It is mad, but it's not insane. You can make it insane. You can make it against the health and well-being of yourself by pushing against yourself, by saying, I don't have what I want. One of the most insane statements that there is. But you can't harm yourself. You can hurt yourself by pretending to do or be or think about things that aren't really, in fact, true or not really even possible to be manifested. And the whole point of thinking is manifesting. So one of the individuation things that you've done where you've set things apart is you said, I can think about this without having any effect on it or on myself for the thinking. That you believe there's a way to intellectually conceptualize the things and it will have no impact on you whatsoever. That's not true. That is a delusion. It's part of the individuation process, but it isn't true. So as we said, you're very good at making things pieces and parts. You're very good at individuating. So it makes sense that you would have a teeny tiny percentage of what you're manifesting set aside in a room. Because after all, you're setting yourself aside in a room known as the world you inhabit and keeping yourself apart from the fullness of who you are, but for very good purpose. It's not wrong. It's just not true. But the truth here is not what we're looking for. What we're looking for is, and what we're bringing to the table and inviting you to pay attention to, is that you are manifesting your desire. So we start this series off by talking about what is actually happening, that you are indeed manifesting your desire and that you're sitting in the middle of it and it's already happening. This room is your desire. That's why it is here. This body that you are possessing. As we talked about before, you are a ghost in possession of a physical form. You've taken over a member of the Homo sapiens species. Now, it sounds very creepy when we say it like this, but that is in fact what you're doing. But of course, it's not as though this body was just hanging around and then you just suddenly popped into it. If you're not putting your attention on it, it doesn't exist. And so, as we've mentioned before, when you daydream, when you sleep, your body is not present. Your body is a construct. It doesn't have a place in which to be present because the entire idea of an XYZ coordinate of a place is entirely imaginary. It's useful. It's very powerful. And you can use it to your advantage. And you do vastly use it to your advantage. Sometimes you use it to your disadvantage by saying things like, I'm over here and what I want is over there and I can't get there, which is not true. You may not be able to cross the space or the time between where you sit and where the other thing is, but you are capable and in fact doing it as you're thinking about it. You are in fact inhabiting that space. It just may be happening somewhere other than where your particular physical focus happens to be, but it's nonetheless happening. Manifesting your desire is already occurring, and that's where we begin. Now, as we continue this series, we'll talk more about the contrast, about your imagining, about your intending, about allowing it, about your helpers, and about how you have versions who can help you move things along very quickly. But today we begin by just simply declaring, here is the beginning point. You are already manifesting. You are already a master of manifesting. And it makes sense that you would set certain things apart because you're very good at setting things apart. After all, your body is a testament to the idea that you've decided, I am not all that is, I am an individual. And while you are not an individual, you have individual characteristics. You are, in fact, all that is, and you have all that power that comes with being all that is, which is ultimate and infinite. You have all the resources that comes with being all that is, which are endless. You have all the intelligence that comes from being all that is, which is infinite. You have all the joy that comes from being all that is, which is unbounded. You have all the peace that comes from being all that is, which is deep and abiding. You have all the freedom, which is definitely the fullness of who you are. You have everything. But we do understand why it feels better to take this massive pie and to slice it into very thin pieces. And it feels really delicious to be looking out into the world through eyeballs, perceiving physical reality, which is just simply the intersection of light, in ways that are delicious to you. And to be able to do things like have chocolate melt on your tongue and reach out with your hand and touch another person and be touched in exchange. To stand or sit and watch as the sun rises above the horizon or appears to dip below the horizon. To feel the warmth of the sun itself on your skin, or to feel the chill of night that causes you to pull whatever you're wearing a little bit closer and brings about a sense of coziness that does in fact require a body to actually feel. You do need the contrast of warm clothes surrounding your body in the midst of a chilled night air, to look up then as you bring these clothes closer to you and to see the vastness of the stars in your sky. You have to have a body to do this, and you've done quite well. Your mastery of physical manifesting is in fact complete. You're not going to get any better at this. What you are going to do, however, is to further refine and define. And if we could say one thing as a single sentence that defines what we're doing here in this series and conversation, is we would call this just simply getting a little bit better at doing something you already do magnificently. Or we would say, you're just deciding to let it be okay to acknowledge that you already know what you're doing. In fact, the majority of what this conversation is about, in fact, the majority of all of the conversations that we have with any of you, is to remind you that everything is already working out for you. It's already happening on your behalf and to your benefit. And the majority, the vast majority of what there is to quote unquote do, and it's not a doing, and that's why it's so confusing. Because you identify yourself as the body, which is a doer, and it confuses you when we say, let go and allow. Because it doesn't sound like we're telling you to do anything, which we're not. We're saying, let the universe of your thoughts handle this like it does with 99.0% of everything else. Let your painting be a masterpiece instead of something hidden in a room with a cloth drawn across its surface so that no one can see it. So here we begin this series on manifesting your desire. And here we remind you again that manifesting your desire is what you are doing all the time with everything that is currently present in your physical reality. This is all that is occurring right now. Every in-breath, every out-breath, every blink of an eye, every sound you hear, every aroma that you can detect in your ambient environment, every feeling that you have on your skin, everything you are manifesting magnificently, powerfully, and deliciously. So, this is where we begin. We thank you very much for being part of this magic, because we do know that the contrast that arises within you as you're manifesting our words will bring to the table some magnificent, delightful, delicious questions. And we look forward to those. And not all questions here in this series will be spoken, of course, like always. And we know that as wonderful and as delightful and as amazing as all of this is, it's only going to be getting better and better and better from here.